Okay, so in a minute we'll sit, and I want to drop in a few things about where the practice where we might have got to in terms of having some momentum with mindfulness, with awareness, and these beautiful Kalyana qualities of mind. So it'll be a sort of meditative reflection. And then we'll have some time for questions, and maybe that there are a little bits of input that I can weave in there, depending on whether there are more or less in the way of questions. And then around 11:20 or so, we'll have a tea break. And when we come back from the tea break, I think there are some rejoicings and some thanks to be had, and I know that Badra would like to do some of that. I think I would as well. And then we'll have a closing ritual. We'll end with a closing ritual, if you like, a dissolving of the mandala that we evoked and created in our imagination on the very first evening. So we'll end a little bit earlier than usual, probably about 25 past 12. And that's partly because so that I can have time to say some goodbyes before I need to leave to get my train about 15 minutes after we end. So maybe just before we sit, I'll do this without, not in a meditative context. So some of my retreats are called uncontrived mindfulness, uncontrived, unprompted mindfulness. So this is when, if you like, we're remembering quite naturally. That there isn't the need to sort of remind yourself so often. I used the image of cycling a couple of days ago, so it's like you've pedalled, you've done the work, if you like, you've got going with the reminding yourself to be aware, to notice what's happening in the mind and body. In a way that's become a little bit more natural to the mind. So you may already have been noticing that actually mindfulness will often spontaneously re-arise. It's not something that we need to continue to check if it's present, or at least not so often. And you might notice this, say, when you wake up from having been lost in a story, lost in lots of thoughts, how mindfulness has come back in its own time. So I think this can be interesting, just noticing, it's back. So what happens then? I'm curious about what do you do when you've been away on something, some sort of topic, and you, if you like, realize that's what's been happening. What are the tendencies of mind at that point? And you might have noticed what you do or what happens at those times. So do we notice that awareness is there again? Or do we notice something else? Any thoughts?
Sort of tendency to judge what was going on before.
Absolutely, yeah. I haven't been aware. So this is perhaps a tightening or a sort of curbing effect on the mind and tightening in the body, yeah. Do other people relate to that? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've been working a lot with Urban Dew in the middle of the morning, sloth and torpor, and something that shifted for me in this retreat was when I get to that point where I nod, I've tended to go, oh. And actually it shifted to a different sense of, oh, that was me waking myself up.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an image of it being a bit like in a circus when you have somebody on the trapeze and they start falling, but they get hold of the trapeze.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like a kind of, oh, I'm awake again. So that I found that quite interesting, because the sort of tone of my response to that,
mm.
Which I always have habitually felt very ashamed about, felt slightly different.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's a bit like you're focusing on awareness, that the fact that awareness is back, rather than that, rather than focusing on unawareness. Which has been what's been happening previously.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Are there any other sort of manifestations of this? Does anyone think about why they've been unaware and why they've been lost and what's been happening? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that's something else that can happen. We think, oh, why did I lose mindfulness? So we look back to what was happening when we weren't aware. So again, we focus on unawareness rather than the fact that actually the mind is awake. It's back. It's in the present. Something else that you may notice. We recognize that we're awake in the moment. But it's almost like we try and compensate for having been unaware by sort of doing a snatch and grab on the moment. Right, I'm aware again. Okay, what can I do? We try and do something with the moment. It's back. So we over-effort in that way. There's a bit of a sort of swing between unawareness, trying too hard. So that might be something else that you can notice. So too much effort, and we lose the natural awareness that's already there. We're already present in that moment. There was a moment for me on a particular retreat where there was some little understanding around, in order to have more continuity of mindfulness, I had to have a looser attitude around it coming and going, around awareness just coming and going. I had to be more happy for it not to be there. And what I noticed was that allowed it to be there more of the time, because I spent less time caught in judging or thinking about or over-efforting, all those sorts of things. It was like, oh, aware again. So there became this much more sort of natural rhythm, the comings and goings of awareness. So these are all really good things to notice, good things to that in a way make it much sort of smoother, make that process of awareness much smoother. And there's less sense of control around what's happening. And with the absence of controlling experience or trying to sort of manage awareness, we're more able to explore the experience of simply knowing that we're aware. And we've been doing this in a couple of meditations recently, just settling back, noticing the mind that's aware rather than the objects. There's a meditation teacher who I really like. Her name is Andrea Fella, F-E-L-L-A. And I think she's most articulated the value of the mind that doesn't know where it's going, and the value of that. So this is interesting because we've got a continuity of purpose. We've got a sense of where we're going, but we also have to hold quite loosely to, in a way there's a sense of direction, but we have to hold loosely to the goal. So I'm just going to read you a little bit of what she says. And in her practice, she's very much explored the idea of awareness is moving, it's going somewhere. Let's see where it wants to go. So she says that exploration has been one of the most powerful ways for the mind to learn how to be with unfamiliar experience, with new terrain in which I've not been previously familiar with being mindful. So it's, I've transcribed this so the grammar is slightly unusual. But she goes on to say, there are so many experiences, so many objects that we have no idea about. We have no possibility of imagining their reality or their formation. We just have no idea. And if we are always choosing where our attention goes, we will limit what we're able to be aware of. At some point, we have to let go of the control of where our attention is, to allow the mind to begin to explore terrain that is unknown to it, that we have no idea about. And she goes on to say, we are not going to find our way to nirvana. We have no idea what we're looking for. We have to have the ability to allow the mind to explore something that we don't know. So I take this we to be, in a way, the we of the sort of the personal me, the personal I, and that deals in terms of the known, that often deals in terms of concepts. And concepts are ways of explaining, if you like, what is already known to us. So being able to be more with direct experience as it happens is a crucial part of opening to some things like awakening that are completely outside of our that what is known, what is usual for us. As she finishes, so watch where the mind wants to go. Sometimes it can be, wow, I have no idea what's going on here, but I know I'm aware. You could not possibly even name the object because it's so unfamiliar, but you know that you're aware, and just hang out there knowing that. So it has a very open feel, doesn't it? It's still attentive. It's still those two qualities I mentioned at the beginning, the precision and abandon, wild abandon. It has both those. And it's, in a way, we can't have the abandon, the wild abandon, without that degree of precision. Precision of presence. Precision through resting in what's happening right now. So let's just sit briefly with this perspective. I'll just say a few things. We won't sit that long, but give it a go.